Good morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. I was so blessed with the song service this morning. Just worshiping the Lord. And singing is what we are going to be talking, I'm going to be talking about today a lot. And thought I should probably just share how I came to that, how I was inspired, why I was inspired to talk about singing. So my wife's family, when we get together, a lot of us, I think most of us, if not all of us, enjoy singing. And yeah, it's just something that's encouraging, uplifting. And so we, not only do we sing, but we talk about a fair amount about singing. And almost 2 weeks ago, we were talking about singing, how our singing is in church, and also about, we had had a brother's meeting about, and a brother had mentioned something about encouraging our children to sing. And anyways, I just thought to myself that we hear preaching and teaching on listening to music, what is good music, what is not good music, what is music that is in the gray zone, and different things like that. But we don't very often hear about singing. It's one thing to be listening to music. It's one thing to be listening to singing. But it's listening to music and listening to singing. I'm not here this morning at all to say that we shouldn't be ever listening to singing. I do it myself. But it's not a command in Scripture anywhere, hey, listen to this singing. Listen to, they didn't have CD players and albums and all that back in those days. And but I was thinking, when I thought about preaching about singing, that it would be somebody else that would need to do it. I didn't want to do it as a song leader. I didn't want to make someone feel like I was just trying to boost the singing in church. But then my father-in-law said, when we were talking about it, he said, oh, he said, I think you're on schedule to preach. And I was like, no, that's, but I couldn't forget it since then. And I started studying and looking through the scriptures at singing, and just felt inspired by the Lord to preach about singing. And the more I studied and the more I looked at scripture, I realized that who here enjoys singing? I do too. But the more I read scriptures and looked at God's word and what it has to say about singing, I was like, I don't know anymore if I have been enjoying singing, because, you know, I often think of singing, maybe it's because I'm so involved in song leading. I often gauge singing in a lot of ways by how our singing is in church. I don't know how it is for the other song leaders, but if I'm leading singing, I can kind of read how a lot of your week has been. Singing, if the singing lacks excitement, it's like everybody's a bit quiet. It's like, okay, that's how I see it. And but I realized as I was reading through scriptures, looking at all these different verses, that our gauge to singing is not how it happens at church. It's a daily life. It's something that happens, should be happening in our life, whether it's making a melody in our hearts or singing it out, letting people hear us praise the Lord. It's something that should happen daily. And at work, we are, Ezekiel, Jonathan, and myself, we're a pretty rambunctious crew. We make a lot of noise. Anyways, recently, sometimes we sing. There's a number of times recently, actually, me and Zeke were up at the top of a ladder, and I started singing some song, and he joined in, and both of us, we were singing as loud as we could sing. But we don't sing a lot, but at the same time, one of the site supers one day, one of the Hey-Ho site supers, she came to check out something at the job that we were at, and she's like, "Hey, I love the way you guys work and the way you sing." And I kind of was like, "Sing? We don't even sing much." Like, but almost every construction crew out there has a blaring radio going, and sometimes it's hard not to just, while you're working, you start bobbing to it. It's like, it just fills the job site. Like, but I've never heard, I don't think I've ever heard somebody comment, "I really like your radio. I really like how your radio makes noise." It's just noise. And I think that we very much underestimate the importance of singing in our daily life. And we're going to go into some scripture. The greatest commandment in scripture is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul." I don't even remember exactly which, or all thy heart, all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's the most important command in scripture, and I think it's over everything else that we read, we see in scripture. But the most repeated command in scripture, does anybody know what that is? All throughout scripture, the most repeated command. Fear not. That, I think in the New Testament, that probably would be, if we take the entirety of scripture, I was reading this account, or this article that said that it's in the scriptures 365 times. I think that's probably a number that somebody came up with, maybe, and or manufactured somewhat too, to make it feel, you know, it's once a day, fear not. But nevertheless, in different forms throughout scripture, that command is there. It's the most repeated command in scripture, fear not. Well, if the most important, the greatest commandment is love God, that next one, fear not, it covers that too. You can't, because perfect love casts out fear. You can't love and fear. The second most repeated command in scripture is sing or praise. When we are loving God, loving our neighbor, and we're not living in fear, what should well up in our hearts? It's praise, it's singing, it's joy. And the word sing, it's sing, song, sang, sung. Those four words are in the scriptures 214 times. The word praise is in the scriptures 248 times. So if a command is noteworthy enough to be repeated over and over and over again, it must be important. It must be something that is important to us or to God. Psalm 47 verse 6 says, sing praises, or it's a short verse, and it says, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. Four times in one verse. So this morning, for my theme text, we're going to go to Psalm 96. I'm going to read through that psalm, and then we're going to go back and look at some of the different things in that psalm. Starting in verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, the Lord also shall be established, the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege of having your word, looking into your word, and learning from it. I pray that you would anoint my lips, Lord, to speak only what you desire for me to speak. I pray that you would minister to each one of our hearts here this morning and inspire us, Lord, to sing your praises. Just thank you, God, for this time together here. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first question I would like to answer from this psalm and other verses from other psalms, I would like to look at five different questions about singing. The first question, or actually it's four different questions, but the first question has two different parts, and those questions are who, when, what, and why. Number one, who should be singing? So verse 1 here in Psalm 96, verse 1 says, in the second half of the verse, sing unto the Lord all the earth. I'll be going through a lot of scriptures. If you probably won't be able to, I've printed off a lot of them because there's a number of psalms. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to follow along. But anyways, and then in Psalm 30, verse 4, it says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 66, verse 4, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Psalm 149, verse 5, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Hebrews 2, verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. So, it doesn't leave out anyone. Sometimes we hear people say things like, oh, but I don't have a talent to sing. Or, singing's not for me. It's not something I can do. And I realize that some people, not everybody has a talent to sing. Not everybody is good with notes. Not everybody is, not everybody is great at singing on tune. There's a lot of those different things to consider. But nevertheless, nowhere in these verses do we find, it doesn't say here, it doesn't say that, let the saints that are talented be joyful in glory. It doesn't say, let the saints that are gifted in singing sing aloud. It says, let the saints sing and let all the earth sing. Towards the end of this psalm, it says, and there's other scriptures that talk about in this way as well. Verse 11, let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. How can a field rejoice? How can a tree be joyful? But God is, God is glorified by his creation, and he's glorified by all these things. But God has given, he made us in his image, and he gave us a voice to sing. Like he didn't give a tree a voice to sing. He didn't give the field a voice to sing. He didn't give the rocks. It says in another place, the rocks will cry out. Jesus said, when he was coming into Jerusalem and they were throwing these palm branches and things like that before him, and they were all praising his name and all hail to the King of Israel, and these people were just rejoicing, and the Pharisees that were in the crowd, they said, can you shut them up? And Jesus said, if these will be quiet, the rocks would cry out. So you can see that God wants his people to sing. Saints, all the earth. It's something that he wants us to do, because he's gifted us with a voice to sing. Number two of this, the question of who, is who are we singing to? Verse 1 here says, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord. Verse 2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Declare his glory. Verse 4 says, for the Lord is great. Then you go down to verse 7. It says, give unto the Lord. Verse 8, give unto the Lord. Verse 9, O worship the Lord. It's pretty clear who we are to sing to. It is Psalm 9, verse 11 says, sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Psalm 18, verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. So, I was thinking of when we, this question, who are we singing to? I divided it into three different sections of who we're singing to. First of all, we're singing to the Lord. Our reason for singing and rejoicing is because God. You see this through Psalm 96. Sing unto the Lord. It says it over and over. Give unto the Lord. Glorify his name. And some song examples, I just wrote down a few songs that are examples of that, the words in the song. One is, "Come Thou Almighty King." It's a song that we sometimes sing at the beginning of Sunday morning. It's a song that I really like. It's like we lift up our eyes, "Come Thou Almighty God." It's, we're singing to the Lord. The next one, another one is "Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah." Tony's favorite. It's a song that we're directing our attention to God. It's always "Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah." It's pretty clear who it's to. It's to the Lord. I was actually thinking we could sing a verse out of that song. Let's turn to number 773. And think about the words in this song and who we're singing to.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him, sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, O ye hand of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise this, give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky.
So you see here, hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens praise His name. It's a song that just directs your attention to the Lord and His goodness and what He's done for us. So then number one, who we sing to is the Lord. It's always, and if you look through all the songs in the songbooks, the majority of them, they should all be, there's one thing that you'll notice. It's always directed to the Lord. So that's who we should be singing to. Secondly, we sing to each other for encouragement, or to, sometimes when we're alone, we sing to ourselves. But I was picturing it as a, I'm not sure if that makes sense, but when we think of who we're singing to, it'll look like it looks. Probably too small. So first of all, we sing to the Lord. And then next, we sing to each other. Or to ourselves for encouragement. I'll just write each other. And then the third subsection there that I have is, last but not least, we sing to the unsaved to declare God's righteousness. So this is the picture I had in my mind. It's kind of like a Wi-Fi. You have the small one at the bottom, and then the bigger, and then this overshadows everything else. So if we're going to, if we want to sing to the unsaved, we want to sing, we want to reach the unsaved world, the heathen, and we're like, well, we got to sing, we need to take the name of the Lord out of a song so that it appeals a bit. You know, there is songs out there that they have a good message, but they never mention anything about who it's singing about. It leaves it vague. So somebody in this category could listen to it, and if they are opposed to the Lord and to Christianity, they could go away and not be offended. But as God's people, first of all, the Lord is who we're singing to. We're singing to each other, to ourselves for encouragement, but we also sing to the unsaved. So if we look here in Psalm 96 again, it says, verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen. And then it says, the next part of the verse says, his wonders among the people. And when we sing together on a Sunday morning, I was thinking, especially this morning, the one song, I forget which number it was and what the words were, but the one song, I was thinking of the words, it was, I think it was the last one, Hallelujah. Tis done. Something like that. But when you listen to that song and you listen, everybody joins in and we band together and we sing together in this category, it's still under this. We're singing to each other together, and it's incredibly encouraging to sing about what God has done for me. And you hear every other person in the room that's singing, they're singing with in first person, Hallelujah, 'tis done. What's done? Salvation. And you hear God's people singing together, and it's encouraging to hear what God has done in people's lives. And it makes you want to just, yes. You know, sometimes we can go through a week and it seems like everything went wrong that could go wrong. And we come to church on Sunday morning and we're like, oh, I didn't even really feel like coming. And then you start hearing people, others, sing of what God has done for them. And you see people raise their hands and worship. And all of a sudden, something happens inside of you and you're like, yes, I'm singing too. And it's something about singing together has a way of bringing us together. We sing about his promises. There's a couple song examples that I had. Was one song is Standing on the Promises. We sing together, we sing to each other, and encourage each other with, we're standing on God's promises. Well, what are God's promises? And you could go through the scriptures and find God's promises. Another one is, my faith has found a resting place. Incredible blessing, that song. Conroy was talking about how he had this unrest and then he found that peace. My faith has found a resting place. And you hear a group sing that, or even if you were to go, let's say you were to go shopping in Walmart, and all of a sudden you hear in the next aisle over, somebody's just, you can tell they're not singing for show, but it's just out of their hearts, my faith has found a resting place. And you're walking, you're shopping, and you're tight on time and you're frustrated, and all of a sudden you're like, my faith has found a resting place. Yeah, that's right. And it encourages you and motivates you. Another one is, he brought me out of the miry clay. The Lord has brought us out of a miry clay. And we remind ourselves about that. And it's encouraging to hear, He brought me out of a miry clay. He set my feet on a solid, I don't even remember the words. Solid on the rock to stand. This is my problem. I don't sing enough by myself, so I don't have songs memorized. But those types of songs encourage us to keep going. Last but not least, to the unsaved, to declare God's glorious salvation. Some of the song examples there is, have you been to Jesus? Are you washed? There's a fountain free. There's a fountain free. Will you come? And you appeal to the unsaved, but it's still in God's, it's still singing to the Lord, but it's, this is what God has done for you. Will you come? And it says here in verse 3 again, declare his glory among the heathen. I don't know I'm sure there's other parents here. If not, praise the Lord, but that have done this. But I have told my boys before, when we're in public and they're kind of in la-la mode and they start singing, like, boys, turn it down a little. Like, you don't need to let everybody hear. Meanwhile, last summer, our neighbor lady walks by, and she's like, whatever you've done to your children, she said, I love to hear their singing. She said, I hear them when they're singing, they're playing in their backyard and they're singing. She said, I love it. And I'm kind of, you know, hang my head in shame. I'm like, but we're so self-conscious. I am, at least often, I'm scared of what people are going to think. The other day, my wife sent me a little voice recording of Kiana had just woken up in the morning, and she was singing, just quietly singing, all my life, you've been faithful. Your goodness is, what's the words again? Yeah, all my life you've been so, so good to me. And I was listening to it while I'm working. I just paused for a bit and I listened to it. I'm like, you could tell her voice was still sleepy. Like, just woke up and she's singing that song. Incredible encouragement. So those are some of the things. That's who we are to sing to. First of all, to the Lord, we sing to each other to encourage each other and to ourselves. It encourages us when we sing in a trial. It encourages us when we sing. But we also sing to the heathen. And you'll see it throughout Psalms over and over. Later we'll read a lot more verses. And it says, among the heathen, to the heathen. I couldn't believe it. How many times? Singing is not just for the church. It's singing is for the heathen to hear of God's goodness. The second question is when? When should we be singing? Only at church. No, not only at church. Verse 2 says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Oh, I'm going to run out of time. From day to day, it's a daily thing. We should be singing. Another verse, it says, Psalm 61 verse 8 says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Hebrews 13 verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for this, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. When should we sing? Continually, daily. It's not just for Sunday mornings. It's not just for Wednesday evening meetings. It's daily in our walk with God. There should be a melody in our hearts. I was reading this article about singing this week. I forget the guy's name that wrote it, but he said the saddest thing that we as Christians can hear from the ungodly is when they say, when they accuse us of not being joyful. We live in a world where there is constant noise, there's radios, there's earbuds, there's our music in our vehicles. And yet, very often, if you actually look at people's eyes and their faces walking down the sidewalk, they're sad. The entertainment of listening to music is not fulfilling them. And if we, as God's people, as the people of God, join the ranks of, oh, just another day, earbuds in and, you know, singing, I hear again, I'm not making a statement that earbuds are wrong. I have a set of earbuds. But where we get into this rut of, oh, what song can I find on Spotify that'll help me to get through this day? And it's just it's a drag. It's a shame for God's people to not be joyful for all that he's done for us. The third one, What should we be singing? Verse 3 says, declare his glory among the heathen. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Singing about God's glory, his grace, his majesty. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints. No, that's the wrong one. Psalm 59, verse 16. But I will sing of thy power. We sing about God's power. Psalm 89 verse 1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 101 verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So we sing about God's mercy, his goodness, his grace, his power. There's so much to sing about. How can we keep from singing? And then the last question is probably not the most, it's a very key question to answer. Why should we be singing? Why should the people of God be singing? Verse 4 says, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So why should we be singing? For the Lord is great. God is so great. His mercy is so vast beyond our imagination. That's why we should be singing. This is why we should, our hearts should overflow with joy and excitement in him. In Exodus 15 verse 1, this is when the children of Israel had just walked through the Red Sea on dry land, and they got to the other side and they watch the Egyptians have their wheels fall off their wagons and their the water close in on them and they all drown. And it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So, if you are here this morning and you're born again, has God not done this for you? Has he not done this with your enemy? With Satan in your life? He's triumphed gloriously over your enemy, the devil. He did that back then. He did that 2,000 years ago. He overcame death. He triumphed over death. And when we put our faith in Jesus, he's done it for me personally. He's triumphed gloriously. 2 Samuel 22, verse 48 through 50. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth forth from mine me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among, here it is, among the heathen. Why would we do that? Why would we sing, hallelujah, 'tis done, among the heathen, while I'm at work? For all you know, somebody's listening and they're like, what? Why were you singing that song? And there you have an opportunity to share the gospel. Now, if we're just listening to music or, you know, listening to each one of us earbuds, nobody around us hears it. It might benefit myself, but nobody around us is hearing it. And I will, it says, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. Why? Because the Lord has delivered me from the violent man. Who's the violent man? Devil, the raging monster, the devil that's trying to discourage us daily. And maybe we overcame, had victory over a time of temptation, and we start singing because the Lord delivered me from the violent enemy. Psalm 13, verse 6. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed every day? Even if, like Pete was sharing last week, his bin drops in there, are you still blessed? Do you still have blessings to sing about? Because the Lord has dealt bountifully. That's why. Psalm 18, verse 49. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. This is pretty much a repeat of the one in Samuel, but again, among the heathen, among the ungodly. Psalm 27, verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. Again, why? Because mine head is lifted up above mine enemies. All of life's trials around me, just discouragements, and the Lord lifts up our head above them. And maybe you've gone through a difficult situation in life, and somebody knows about it, and they see you smiling and singing, and they're like, why would you sing? What would give you a reason to sing? Look at what just happened to you. Maybe you lost a loved one. Look at this. Because, it says, because the Lord has lifted my head above mine enemies, and I am not brought under subjection to them. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks. Why? At the remembrance of his holiness. Maybe you're working and you remember, God puts a verse in your mind and you remember God's holiness, and you break out in song. God is a holy God. Psalm 47, verse 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Look at the kingdoms of this world. Unrest, fighting, fear, war, everything. And then in the midst of all that, all these bad news you hear all the time, you remember, God is the King of all the earth. And you, again, you break forth in song. Because God is so good. Psalm 59, verse 16 and 17. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. God defended me. The enemy came and the Lord defended me. I'm singing. And here's another clue to, or another, it says, I will sing in the morning. There's another time when you can sing in the morning. Wake up and praise the Lord. Psalm 98, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. O victory in Jesus! Because God has won the victory. Another reason to sing. Psalm 135, verse 3. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Simply because the Lord's name is pleasant. Do we ever sing simply because, I love you, Lord. I just simply love you. Your name is pleasant to sing about. And it reminds us of all that he's done for us. And we just sing. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Simply for the reason, for the fact that it's good. It's good for us to sing. And this is, you know, this is all from the scriptures, but I was reading an article from last week from a secular scientist, and she says, singing is naturally good for people. It releases dopamine in your mind and body that excites you, and people are known to, even non-Christians are known to, when they start singing, their difficult situations or their depression starts going away. It's good for us. It's simply good for us to sing. It's good for our lungs. It's healthy for our lungs to sing it out. So those are a number of reasons why we should sing. I'd like to look at a couple different stories of how the Lord used singing in people's lives. The first one is in 2 Chronicles 20. Starting in verse 20. So this is where the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir came against Judah to fight with them. And Jehoshaphat, this is when Jehoshaphat was king, and he, I'll just start in verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So Jehoshaphat had, he was afraid. He had come to the Lord, and he's like, Lord, what are we going to do? And God gives him an answer, and here they fall down before the Lord, and they worship the Lord. Verse 19. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went, as they went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. They didn't even have to fight. They started singing, and God used the singing. God did a miracle. And if we were to keep reading there, Judah spent 3 full days gathering the spoil from these armies. Just so much stuff left over. The Lord used singing to confuse the people, and they started destroying each other. Now if we go to the New Testament in Acts, this is a story that we think is great, but often we overlook or miss the details or don't see or understand what the situation was actually. Acts 16, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, speaking of Paul and Silas, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So he puts them in the inner prison, and they're sitting with these big wooden blocks over their feet, and they can't move. They're there to stay till they were going to, whatever they're going to do next with them. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Who heard them? The heathen. All the criminals in there heard them. They must have been like, why would they be singing? Look at them. They didn't even do anything wrong, and they're sitting there in stocks, and they're singing. What on earth? Acts doesn't record record anything of any of the other prisoners coming to the Lord, but I would not doubt that some of the prisoners in there probably found Jesus that night. They're like, why would they sing? But the thought that struck me was, you imagine Silas sitting beside Paul, and Paul starts singing, and Silas is like, shh, stop, they're going to hear us. I don't think Silas did that. They sang, and they just praised God for all the reasons. In their situation, they could still sing because the Lord had lifted up their head above their enemies. And they sang. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. All of a sudden, all the prisoners are free. And we know how the story keeps going. The jailer and his whole family get saved. Why? Because somebody was not ashamed to sing. God used that singing. We could say, oh, well, God just did a miracle. He did a miracle. But I do not believe that God would have done that if Paul and Silas would have sat there. Woe is us. Look at where we are. We're stuck. Can't get out. But they just praised the Lord. They sang. The other story, the last story I would like to read is one of a missionary. I'll just read it here. Several hundred years ago, India was an unreached land filled with unknown dangers, yet missionaries bravely ventured into its depth to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. In cities, priests and temple leaders of the demonic religions put up fierce opposition. In the wild, the tribes of headhunters dwelt in spiritual darkness, threatening those who would come near. Still, missionaries continued to travel to this pagan country, hoping to bring the good news. Reverend E.P. Scott was one such brave missionary. After ministering in India for 7 years in the villages, he one day encountered a tribesman from the wild. The Holy Spirit filled the missionary's heart to go to the man's tribe. When Reverend Scott announced his decision to visit the savage tribe, his friends begged him not to go. However, he knew he must. After several days of strenuous hiking, Reverend Scott suddenly found himself surrounded by a hostile group of warriors. You imagine, he hiked for 2 full days, tired, probably really hot, sweaty, just because God wanted him to go here. And all of a sudden he finds himself surrounded by these stealthy warriors from the wild, headhunters. Their sharp spears were pointed at him. Expecting to be speared at any moment, Reverend Scott slowly removed his violin from his pack and breathed a prayer heavenward. Then, with his eyes closed, he began to play his instrument while singing Mr. Pernet's hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." As he awaited death by those tribesmen's deadly spears, he sang out. This is verse 4 of that song. So he's already sang, if he had sang the version that's in our book, he's already sang 3 verses. And the 4th verse says, "Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all." And he's all got his eyes closed and he's playing his violin and he's singing. And all of a sudden he's like, "Where's the spears?" Reverend Scott slowly opened his eyes and looked around. Every spear was lowered, and some of the savage warriors were even crying. They had been touched by the power of God. Reverend Scott spent the next 2 years leading that tribe to Christ, teaching them how God's justice and mercy are intertwined to provide mankind salvation. God used singing. Instead of going all frantic, "You're going to spear me," he slowly takes his violin, closes his eyes, and he just starts singing. And God ministered to these savage headhunters through the words of that song. And he spent 2 years sharing the gospel with these. In closing, let's turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 13. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." My desire is this morning is just to I wouldn't say that it's a song leader's quest to hear more singing in church, but it's just a plea for us as God's people to sing. We know that it's God's will for us to sing. The Bible has so many commands. It gives us reasons when, what to sing, why we should sing. What excuse do we have? What excuse do you have to say, well, I can't sing? I can't sing. And so, yeah, my desire is just to inspire us and encourage us. I know it's been that to me. I've been very provoked just doing this study and just seeing how little I sing. I love singing, but I have a really difficult time remembering songs, and so then I want to sing, but I don't know what the words are, and then I don't sing. I just want to encourage us. We have a lot of reason to sing, and let's be a joyful people. Let's never allow the world to accuse us of not being joyful. We need to be a joyful people. Lord bless you.